you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zemer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Bonnie Harper, who's serving as our worship associate, our music director, Hal Walker, and the Fallow Time Folk Orchestra, who has prepared some beautiful music to share with us today. We're glad to be together, and I'd like to extend a special welcome to those of you who are with us for the first time. We're always happy to have guests at our services and hope that you'll join us afterward for our social hour, which is held immediately following our service downstairs in our social hall, Fessenden Hall. If you find that you would like more information about the life and work of this congregation, I encourage you to complete a guest card, which you can find in the racks in the pews before you. You may place your completed card in the offering basket when it comes to you later in the service, or hand it to one of our greeters who will be happy to meet you at the visitor's table, which is just around the corner outside the sanctuary doors. Ours is a church that strives to practice the fragile art of hospitality. And so in that spirit, I invite you to take a few moments to turn and greet your neighbors.
Hey, buddy.
Silence your cell phones. I'd like to direct your attention to the thread from the web. That is the insert in your order of service. There you will find several announcements as well as a calendar of events for the week ahead in the church. There has been a change in the musical program for today, Hal would like to share with you.
As we were rehearsing, we realized that Just Swinging was a perfect opening song. So we switched.
After our service this morning, this first service, we will have a dedication of our new play space right behind the church. Everyone is invited to join us outside.
We light our chalice today in honor of our adventures through life's ups and downs.
Even though the children are not with us for this service today, we decided that we wanted to use this story, this Dr. Seuss story, because it tells a story that all of us can relate to about the journey through life. And what's true for individuals is also true for organizations, including this congregation. We have ups and downs, times when we're flying high and times when we're struggling to figure out our way. And through it all, it is our lay leaders who work with me and the rest of the staff to help navigate the journey of this congregation. And there are many people who serve in many capacities. And this morning, we take a few moments to especially recognize our Board of Trustees, who plays a significant role in leading our congregational life. So I'd like to invite all of the trustees to join me here in the front of the church, all of the newly elected trustees, those who have just completed their term, and those who have been elected to begin serving. Our outgoing trustees include Chris Hurlbut, who has been our secretary and isn't here with us this morning. Elaine Bowen, who has served as our moderator for the second time in the last decade. And Randy Rahutsky, who has served as our building and grounds trustee, also for the second time. Third time. One before I was even here. And so we are very grateful to all of them, Chris, Elaine, and Randy, for their leadership. They have done tremendous work on our behalf, and I hope that you will join me in reading the words to thank them printed in your order of service. Thank you for your gifts of faithfulness, dedication, and generosity. We celebrate you and your leadership. And we can celebrate them with applause, too. In addition to the trustees who are continuing on, we have newly elected trustees who just completed their first board meeting on the board, and that includes Ann Verweebe, who is our secretary. Incidentally, this is Anne's second time on a board, but the first one in this congregation. She was also on the board of the West Shore Unitarian Universalist Church when she was a member there. Leah Gillig, who is our new Buildings and Grounds Trustee, and Max Grubb, who has been the assistant moderator and is now becoming our moderator. In addition to them, Dan Flippo is our assistant moderator. Jack Graham and Marianne Stevens are sharing the trustee of programming work in our congregation. Carol Gould is behind them. She is our trustee for fellowship and also a violin player in our orchestra. And Vivian Sandlin, our trustee for outreach to the wider world. Will you please join me in the words to our continuing and incoming trustees printed in your order of service? You hold our interests as a sacred trust. We charge you to remember the spirit and promise of Unitarian Universalism and to be guided by the covenant, vision, and vision of our church as you exercise leadership.
We accept this charge.
We need you to be good stewards of our resources, and we want to support us in sharing our own time, talent, and treasure, so that together we can assure our legacy to the next generation. We ask you to care for yourselves, even as you care for our congregation, modeling for us a life of balance, service, integrity, and joy. Thank you all very much. Of course, waiting can feel like a very useless place, but I have to disagree with Dr. Sluice in that sometimes I believe waiting can be an open place, a place of discovery, a place of preparation. And so it is that this time, as we enter into a time of silence, meditation, and prayer, I invite you to wait, simply to wait, without thinking, without talking, without listening for the sounds of another voice, just waiting and opening yourself to see what you find. Each time we gather for worship, we set aside time to widen the caring ministry of this congregation. We take time to memorialize those who have died, to celebrate with those who are joyous, and to call into this community of care. Will you please hold in your hearts and prayers this morning Marianne Casper. Her sister-in-law, Nancy Gleason, died this week after a battle with breast cancer. The flowers this morning have been given by Marianne's family in Nancy's honor and memory. And will you also join me in celebrating this morning with our affiliated community minister, Reverend Renee Rahutsky. This coming week at the Unitarian Universalist General Assembly, Renee will be recognized for having achieved final fellowship as a Unitarian Universalist minister, which is most analogous to achieving tenure. So we're very proud and happy of Renee. And now I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who come on your hearts and minds this morning, to call them into this community of care. And I invite you to join with me now in a collaborative prayer. There will be a space for you to add your own thoughts, feelings, prayers, intentions in the prayer, and you may do so either silently or aloud as the Spirit moves you. Spirit of life and of love, Spirit of mystery and wonder. The earth has turned again and we have experienced the longest day of the year. The summer solstice has come upon us. When the winter solstice arrives, it seems natural to take time to light candles, to sit in darkness, to meditate and to pray. The world is cold and dark, and it seems natural to turn within. But when the summer solstice comes, the day is so long, the sky bright, and we are out in the world, accomplishing our many intentions and the work that we have to do and the play that we feel called to enjoy. And so perhaps it doesn't feel quite as natural to take time for meditation and prayer. But here we are, in this time, carved out for Sabbath. And so, Spirit of life and of love, at this time of the turning of the year, help us remember
to live with intention, slow down,
to be nice.
Every day is another day. Patience. To stay in the now and in touch with our heart at every moment. To smile at a stranger. Do all things with kindness.
See God in everything.
Let the beauty of the natural world be our teachers, the bright shining sun, the clear blue skies, the days of clouds and rain, the trees, the flowers. Help them teach us
to keep going.
To go outside.
To recognize the goodness.
To appreciate.
To find new bugs in the backyard.
To appreciate Mother Earth.
Thank her.
To care for the moon.
To appreciate Mother Earth in our bodies.
And in this time of going out and being active in the world, of engaging with so many other people, also out enjoying the summer, remind us to relate to one another with
love, tolerance, respect,
kindness, compassion, joy. Patience,
acceptance,
gratitude.
Spirit of life and of love, spirit of mystery and wonder, these are our summer solstice prayers. Help us live into them. May it be so, and amen. Actually, would you like to go to that place? My nieces would love to have their birthday parties there. In our culture, summertime is a time of going places. From Memorial Day to Labor Day, people in the United States log many driving miles on all sorts of trips and adventures. I'll be taking my first summer adventure tomorrow as I head to Providence for the General Assembly. I'll be stopping first for an afternoon at the beach. I've been fretting all week about taking my baby and all the sand he's going to eat. But after this last several days when he has learned to pull up and can't stop climbing and falling, I'm looking forward to him having nothing to fall off of for several hours. If you were here last week, you heard that I'm thinking about this sermon today about journeys as a continuation of last week's sermon. So really, this is part two. But if you weren't here then, this, I hope, will also stand alone. If you were here, it may seem a bit incongruous to you, this sermon about journeys that began with a story last week of the journeys of so many migrant children fleeing for their lives from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Mexico. Like other refugees and displaced people around the world, the children streaming across our borders are coming here in hopes that their journeys will be generative, hoping simply to save their lives. I talked also last week a little bit about how we might be able to relate to that journey that the migrant children are taking. Most of us have not had that experience of leaving our home and traveling to another land to save our lives. But most of us have had the experience of embarking on a journey, often a challenging journey, with the hope of enhancing our lives. And I talked a little bit about some of the kinds of metaphorical journeys we take in that quest, like the journey to continue an education or to start a new job or a new relationship, move into a new home. All of these journeys that we take can be filled with struggle. Admittedly, not struggle comparable to leaving your home and traveling for another land, but still struggle nonetheless to try to find our way into a fuller life for ourselves. And so maybe we can have some sense of, a little bit of a sense of what that might be like to take such a big risk. What I didn't say last week, and I realized was an omission because it's an important part of my thinking about how I get from that journey, a journey to save a life, to the journeys we might be familiar with, the journey to enhance a life. I'm thinking about the ways in which we endeavor to... I'm sorry, this never happens to me. It's a journey. I was on a roll, I forgot where it was, I can't find it on the page. Okay, so what I didn't say last week is how I make the leap. So all week long I've been thinking about that I didn't say how I make the leap, and I've been continuing to think about those migrating children and doing more reading and more research in my quest to understand. And in doing so, I learned that there are over 50 million displaced people and refugees around the world right now. 50 million people. That number is so huge, I can't even comprehend that. 50 million people displaced around the world. And to be honest, I can't comprehend the tragedy either. The distance between my life and the life of a refugee is so vast. I can't hope to understand the history and the politics that lead to so many displaced people, of all of those conflicts, and really, truly, I probably can't even hope to understand one of them in depth. Each is so particular, so full of story, history, culture, religion. They're complicated stories. But something in me wants to pay attention anyway, to try to understand, to try to learn, to care, and to try to make some kind of difference for humanity, however tiny. And so this is where the leap comes in. I believe that a big part of what makes it possible for me to keep paying attention to the heartache of the world is the ways in which I try to carve out time and space to care for my own spirit. I have to do that. I have to carve out time and space to care for my own spirit, or I will become so overwhelmed by the cares of the world that I'll have nothing to give, no capacity to pay attention to anybody else's struggle. It's essential. And there are lots of things that I do to nurture my own spirit. Journeying is one of them. And sometimes those journeys are just for fun. When the journey is with friends and family to some place with the express purpose of just playing, it can feel kind of like that Dr. Seuss passage that Bonnie just read. And with so many people on Facebook, it almost can be kind of like the whole world is watching you on TV, especially if you're a prolific poster and putting all of your pictures up there of the fun things that you're doing. And people can cheer you on with their likes and their comments about all the great things that you're doing. Whether you're inclined to post your photos or not, my first suggestion to you this Sunday is to use this summertime to take some kind of trip with the express intention of nurturing your own spirit. And maybe one of those trips will be just to play, just to have some fun. Maybe you have a grand vacation planned filled with all kinds of games and adventures, but even if you don't, you can still bring this kind of pleasure into your life. You can do it with little trips that don't involve a lot of time or expense. You can go to a parade or a summer festival, visit the zoo, or go to one of the many free summer concerts. You can go to the park for a cookout and bring a Frisbee along. You can plan a trip to Lake Michigan or to one of the county fairs. You can ride the Ferris wheel, try your hand at throwing darts. Whatever it is, think about what would be fun for you. And then carve out some time this summer to go and do it. Go and do something just for fun. Take a trip this summer that pulls you out of your routine simply for the pleasure of it all, simply for the purpose of cultivating joy. Your spirit will thank you, and chances are good that the people around you and the larger world will also be glad for the time you have taken to tend your spirit. After our afternoon at the beach tomorrow, I'll head to Providence, where I will first attend the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association annual meeting and then the Unitarian Universalist Association General Assembly. When those meetings conclude, I'll spend a few weeks traveling around New England visiting family and friends. During both weeks, I'll have the opportunity to have many in-depth conversations with people who are dear to me but who I don't see very often. In a compressed period of time, I will have a chance to tell the deeper story of how I am multiple times over. By the time I'm on my way back to Ohio, I'm quite sure that I will have a clearer picture of my life and the state of my spirit than I do right now. I wonder how many of you have ever had that experience. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? I see lots of heads nodding. I think it happens when we go like to reunions, for example, family reunions or school reunions or to reunions of camps that we've attended, when we see people who once knew us very intimately, or who maybe still know us very intimately, but who we don't have a lot of opportunity to have in-depth conversation with very often. It's kind of like we pick up where we left off and are trying to say, in a, you know, the limited time we have, how are you really? And I don't know about you, but I find out, I say things that I didn't know I would say. How am I really? Well, I don't know. Let's find out. I've come to count on it. It happens so often to me when I go to things like this. I think partly it's from the speaking my truth over and over and over again, but I think also partly it comes from traveling back to touch a place and a people that and a community that was once a part of my daily life, but which now I only visit. The journey beckons me to reflect upon that distance, the distance between who I was then and where I was then and what life was like then to who I am now and where I am now and what life is like now. In her book, Pilgrim Heart, Sarah York describes the kind of journey taken with the intent to learn more about how we really are and who we really are, about learn more about our hearts and our souls and our spirits as a pilgrimage or a spiritual journey. When you think about that word pilgrimage, maybe the first thing that comes to mind for you are the kinds of journeys that people take to holy shrines, sacred spaces that are part of religious communities around the world. And that's certainly an important component of pilgrimage. But there's another type of pilgrimage, which can involve visits to sacred sites in our own personal history, in our own religious history, our cultural history, our social history. And I would venture to say that sometimes communities can be pilgrimage sites too. I'm thinking about the folks from this congregation and other congregations around the region who will be traveling to Summer Institute in a couple of weeks. And I think for some people, going back to that community every year is a kind of pilgrimage or a spiritual journey. What Summer Institute provides is a gathered spiritual community and a time out of time. And there are lots of places that do that, lots of communities that do that. And I think that those are two good descriptors of what it can feel like when we're on a spiritual journey with other people. That time out of time feeling also happens when we go on spiritual journeys by ourselves. But in contrast to immersing in spiritual community, solo pilgrimages immerse us in the embrace of life itself or the universe or God, however you choose to call it. I'm thinking here about solo wilderness adventures or silent meditation treats, for example. Whether we take them on our own or with other people, spiritual journeys have the potential to help us learn more about who we are, how we are, where we come from, how we're connected, and what it means to be at home in this world. Spiritual journeys are the ones we take with the express purpose of endeavoring to make meaning of our lives. Like travel for fun and play, spiritual journey is another important component of the way that I practice finding and keeping my balance in this mixed-up world. And so my second suggestion to you today is to consider whether you might be called to make a spiritual journey this summer. Like travel for fun, spiritual journey doesn't have to involve a lot of time or expense. Of course, it can, and sometimes people take pilgrimages to places halfway around the world that they plan for and save for a long time. That's one kind of pilgrimage, but you can make a pilgrimage close to home. For example, a trip to Lake Michigan might just be for fun and play, but it also might be a spiritual journey. The same trip can have different meanings, and the difference isn't the destination. The difference is the preparation. The difference is the intention. The difference is the way we orient ourselves to the journey. Many destinations will work. The key, Sarah York points out in her book, is that we do have to leave home, though. There are too many distractions at home to pull us away from the deeper soul work that actually happens when we create the space for a spiritual journey. So it doesn't matter where you go, but you have to go somewhere. Once we're resolved to take a spiritual journey, York says that there are several steps we can take to help us prepare for our experience. First, she suggests we do well to figure out what it is we hope to gain from the experience. Some of the ways that we might go about that are journaling, prayer, meditation, or finding someone whom we can trust to talk with us about why we're going and what we hope to get out of it. The person has to be someone who will truly listen without trying to advise or suggest to us the meanings that we're trying to make, but will ask us the kinds of open-ended questions that can help us find our own meaning, our own intentions in making the trip. So the first step is to prepare. The second step, she says, is to name the intentions that we discover. This isn't about trying to strike a bargain with God or the universe. These are my intentions. This is what must be delivered on my spiritual journey. But rather, to put it out there so that we can recognize it when it comes to us. If we know what our intentions are, then when opportunities arise that will help us live into those intentions, it might make it a little bit easier for us to move in that direction, to be open to what we find. When it's time to go, she suggests that it can be helpful to create some kind of leave-taking ritual. This can involve the physical acts that it takes to prepare to leave home, like arranging for someone to tend our pets or our plants or our children or other responsibilities in our absence, and doing things, concrete things to prepare, like packing a journal or paints or a camera or whatever it is that represents our intent. And then when the journey is done, York says the last part is critical, and that's the part of returning back home again. The spiritual journey doesn't end when the trip ends. Part of what makes a journey a spiritual journey is the way it makes a difference in our lives. And it can take some time to recognize and integrate that difference, to find a way to bring what we found in that time out of time back into ordinary time. How do we make room for the insights to come home with us? Like the work of preparing, York says the work of integrating the lessons of a spiritual journey can be facilitated in many of the same ways that we prepared to go. Journaling, prayer, meditation, or once again, talking with a friend who will listen and ask an open, deep questions about what it is we found and want to keep with us back in our ordinary day-to-day lives. Our world is such a complicated place, and there are so many demands on our lives. Spiritual journeys can help us in our quest to make meaning. It may seem ironic, but going away on a spiritual journey is sometimes just what we need to figure out how to be at home when we're home. Wendell Berry expressed this thought beautifully, and so I leave you today with his words. "And the world cannot be discovered by a journey of miles, no matter how long, but only by a spiritual journey, a journey of 1 inch, very arduous and humbling, by which we arrive at the ground at our own feet and learn to be at home. Summertime is a good time for journeying. If you do, may you journey well. Will our ushers please come forward? Once each month, we take a special collection for an organization whose work we want to support, and our collection this morning goes to Love Light. Love Light is a local organization whose mission is to nurture the lives of disadvantaged children in our community, and one of the concrete ways that they do that is providing free, nutritious, hot lunches to children at various sites around the larger community in the summertime. Your contribution this morning will go to Love Light to support that mission. And if you would like to find more concrete ways to help, you will have seen in the electronic e-news communication we sent out this week that Love Light is also looking for volunteers to drive the meals from the kitchen to the lunch site, and also people to help plan activities for the children who come to enjoy the meals. So if you can help, your contributions of any kind will be gratefully received. If you're a guest this morning, we have a gift for you. There's a candle in the basket. We're glad you're with us. The offering will now be gratefully received.
Thank you.
I send you with these words for journeying from John Brigham. Go your ways, knowing not the answers to all things, but seeking always the answer to one more thing than you know. Go in peace.